To your neighbor, right, don't ask who's my neighbor. To your neighbor, share one point that Pastor Anil shared. Pastor Anil shared many amazing points, but one point that really kind of touched your heart. Okay. Take a minute and just have a conversation. If you didn't get any points, you can confess the truth. You were sleeping, doesn't matter. To 2 Samuel 6. Sometimes it's good to do this because the best time to forget the message is immediately after we heard it. If our mind is like in space. Okay, so this is good. That was phenomenal. Message is very convicting, you know. 2 Samuel 6. This is also about David. I think David is getting it today. But we'll end his life on a good note today. 2 Samuel chapter 6. He's looking down and saying, hey, I'll be the prince in the millennial reign. Watch out. Okay, starting at verse 3. If you have your Bibles open there. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Okay, verse 5. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Okay, verse 8, David was displeased. Verse 9, David was afraid. Okay, then after this portion, 3 months passed by. And now David is making again a second attempt to bring the ark, to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. Okay. Verse 14. This is the second time. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. Have you danced recently? I think you must do that in the spirit. Okay. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window, and she saw the king, David, leaping and dancing before the Lord. And what did she do? She praised the Lord, right? She despised him in her heart. Okay? Now the blessing happens, people are blessed, and each one goes to their house and they're happy. Verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, she was his wife, okay? How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than this. and will be base in my own sight, and of the hand and of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be held in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would bless the message. Now, thank you for the word we heard. Thank you for your presence in our midst. And continue to speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. Just as a background to this chapter, we know, most of us know, but for those who does not know, David was a king at this time over the nation of Israel after Saul. And this was a desire that he had in his heart immediately after his victory over the Jebusites. And he conquered Jerusalem, right? From the hand of the Jebusites. And he had like a desire. And what was a desire? A great desire. It was a spiritual desire. And the desire was to bring the ark from Kiriath Jearim all the way to Jerusalem. Now, the desires that we have as people of God can either stem from the old or from the new. It can either stem from our old heart or from the new heart. David's desire was spiritual, right? He wanted to bring the ark into the midst of the people. I love this king. He was really good. Because David wanted the nation of Israel to recognize the nation's relationship with God. And David wanted the people of Israel to know that though he was their king, God was a real king, and David himself had to be submitted to the will and counsel of God in terms of ruling his people. And thirdly, David wanted his people to be true worshipers. Great desire, right? Now, very often when we have desires, it is a good check. And as Pastor beautifully said it, David went into Bathsheba. Was that a spiritual desire? No. It's only the desires of the new that God can approve. And this desire we have for God is the evidence that we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it? Because a new man created in righteousness and true holiness is the reason why we have desires for God. Many times we'll be so shocked that how come we are thinking in terms of a desire for God when all the moments before we were goofing it up big time. It's like, what? How could this? Like, you know, the whole week is, then you have a desire on Sunday morning, let's go to church. Where did that come from? Yeah, it's from the new. Now, desire always gets translated into zeal. Zeal is nothing but a desire translated in terms of eagerness and willingness. And here was where David went wrong. Our zeal for God must be according to knowledge. It must be according to knowledge. Knowledge of the word. And here is where we can and must, for the most part, be corrected in our thinking. Because if our zeal for God is not according to knowledge, Romans chapter 10 verses 2 and 3, the word of God says, we will, because of our zeal for God, we will end up establishing our own righteousness and not really submit to the righteousness of God. So the zeal was very much part of King David's life. But then we read what happened. Everything was prepared. There was no cab those days, so they prepared a cart. There were cart drivers, not cab drivers. And the guy who died was a cart driver, Uzzah. following zeal, there is a third one, and that is the determination to act. Our determination to act must be according to divine order. I'll repeat that again. Here is a desire. We are all people that's characterized by desire, zeal, and determination, isn't it? Desire, the question is it of the old or is it of the new? Many times, desires, in terms of a desire for God, remains in us as a principle of life because we have the new man in us. But in terms of application of that principle, we have zeal and determination coming into the scene. Zeal must be according to knowledge, and our determination to act must be according to God's divine order. That's the reason in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 13, you can read 1 Chronicles 15 in line with this chapter. He says, David said, God brought a breach upon us because we did not seek God after his order. There was something that was done, but that was not according to God's order. And has it not often happened to us that there is a godly desire, but in terms of zeal and determination, things misfire? If that has happened to you, you are in good company. David also had the same thing. And there's something that God teaches us here, and I'll just quickly go over it. God taught David something phenomenal, and that was this, that we cannot secularize the presence of God. What is it? To secularize means to transfer from what is ecclesiastical into civil possession, or to draw away from a spiritual orientation. Because if we secularize the presence of God, revival in our spirit will turn into carnival in our emotions. Is that okay? Imagine they had an organ, and we shared that in the class before. They had an organized assembling around the Ark of God. An Ark of God symbolized the presence of God. They had an organized assembling around the presence of God, but it resulted not in joy, it only resulted in death, because Uzzah went forth to touch the ark when the oxen shook it, and he died there. It was not life, it was death. Okay? And then we see that the presence of God was sacred, and so for 3 months this ark is kept in a person's house. His name is Obed-Edom. And imagine, was the presence of God manifested when Uzzah touched the ark? Yes. Not as a blessing, but as death. Was the presence of God manifested when Obed-Edom welcomed the ark into his house? Yes. How? As a blessing. Ark became the instrument, or the presence of God became the instrument of either life or death, based on people's attitude toward the presence of God. Isn't that very interesting? It can either be life or it can either be death. So when Obed-Edom lived in right relationship to what the Ark of God represented, the Bible goes on to say that not only was he blessed, and all his household is blessed. David comes to know this amazing truth regarding the presence of God that is associated with a blessing, which he knew it before, but then it became a carnival in his emotions. But when he realized how it can turn out into a blessing, he set forth the second time to bring the ark back into Jerusalem. Is that interesting? Now, in the second time, there was another death. But this time not with Uzzah. Uzzah was already dead. But this death was for Michal, David's wife. And there is an amazing reason why Michal was judged. She was probably very modest, did her makeup and all that, finished her cooking. Whatever. And then gives a look through the window and sees her husband. Phenomenal. comes to find out that he was doing it before the people. He was dancing. The Bible says he was girded with a linen ephod, and linen ephod could fall to the ground if you really dance. And David says something to her that really brought out what her heart's condition was. And this is the point of the message. Now here it is. If in terms of our zeal and determination we have misfired, but if the desire is of God, nurture that desire. We all have great desires for God, don't we? In terms of a principle, okay, we must serve God, we must accomplish great things for God. But in terms of our zeal and our determination to act, God corrects us. And God corrected David. That many times what happens is when we face displeasure, the Bible says David was angry and afraid at the same time. Imagine, he is angry and afraid at the same time, and he says, okay, forget it. But the desire to bring the ark came from God. It was a spiritual desire. Nurture that spiritual desire, though God may correct us in terms of our zeal and in terms of our determination for action. Because there, knowledge of God's word, as Pastor Anil beautifully brought out, knowledge of God's word and divine order comes into the scene. Now, David comes into the scene and he has a word with Michal. And there are two things I want to communicate to you before I close. In terms of our rejoicing, in terms of our calling. Okay? Our rejoicing and our calling in God, though we get corrected in terms of our zeal and determination, if it is established on a godly desire, our rejoicing and our calling in God must be seen in its inspiration and must be seen in its reason. Probably it's an abstract concept to you, but I'll repeat that again. A rejoicing and a calling in God stemmed from what? A desire God put in us to follow Him. It came from Him, and that is the reason we are here and we are doing what God has called us to do. Though there's a lot of correction that comes in the realm of zeal and determination. But our rejoicing and a calling must also be seen in the realm of its reason for the calling, or the reason for rejoicing, and must also be seen in the realm of inspiration. Now, Michal judges, rebukes David, and David gives her the reason why he danced. Isn't that amazing? And in many words, David said this, I danced not before you, I danced before the Lord. And in many words, what he's saying is this: I danced because of the favor conferred upon us by the grace of God. This is the reason I was rejoicing. And I want to recognize my calling as a king for the nation and being appointed as a king for the nation, not because of myself, but because of grace. All right? Now here, this is what he said in verse 21. Is that interesting? And David said unto Michal, I did it before the Lord. In verse 22, I will yet be more vile than thus, and even be base in my own sight. What was he saying? In myself, let me be even more despised, because I have no honor that I can glory in of myself. In myself, let me be considered as the very chief of sinners. I have nothing going for me, because I'm totally a sinner saved by grace. But if there is honor bestowed upon me, in verse 22, B part, let it be because of the grace of God. Is that amazing? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, the word of God says, Paul says, I was called by grace. Is that what it is? He called me by his grace and separated me from my mother's womb. Immediately he did not confer with flesh and blood, meaning he did not go for people's opinions to decide his calling, because he recognized there was a calling totally because of grace. And this was the reason why David could become a great person in the Old Testament. Yeah, look at his mistakes, look at his sins, and we say, oh my God. Then when God shows us who we are, we say, oh my God, one greater than David is here. In ourselves, let it be, let us be more vile and more base. Let me be all the more despised. It really doesn't matter because I have nothing to glory in myself. And if I have something to glory in, let it be because of the grace of God that is better. And that's how it's symbolically represented by the maid servants in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 22. He said, the reason why I rejoiced, the reason why I undertook this incredible task of bringing the ark into Jerusalem as a king is because I was called by grace. And then the inspirational aspect of his calling, or the reason why he rejoiced, he did not tell it to Michal because she did not know what was going on in the heart of David. And so there was no reason why he had to tell it to her. The reason, a rejoicing and a calling, if when it is seen in the reason, it must be totally and completely because of grace. It should never be because of us. Number one. Number two, the inspiration in our rejoicing and in our calling must be the fellowship that we are drawn into with God and the understanding of it that the Holy Spirit gives us progressively. David related the reason to Michal, but he could not relate the inspiration of his rejoicing because she had no idea what was actually going on in the heart of David. So here you have the reason for your calling. What is that? It's the grace of God. There is the inspiration, the element of inspiration in our calling, in our rejoicing day by day with God is what? It must be the fellowship, because of grace, the fellowship that we are brought into with God on a daily basis in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9, which becomes an understanding to us as the Holy Spirit shows to us on a day-to-day basis. Take these two reasons out, you and I will be set against the very purpose of God for our lives. Thank God for the godly desires. Many people want to move mountains for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. But where is the zeal? Where is the determination? Where is the inspirational element? And what is the reason for your calling? It must be based on grace, and the inspirational element for our rejoicing and our calling must be based on the fellowship that we are drawn into with God. And that is the reason why we cannot tolerate leaven as individual people. Because the slightest leaven that comes in, as Pastor Daniel beautifully shared, it takes away from the sensitivity of that beautiful fellowship that we are called into with God. That takes away from that inspiration. And remove the inspirational element in your calling as a believer priest before God. Spiritual weariness and exhaustion and all kinds of things come in to hinder because of lacking inspiration. So here it is. She judged grace. Who judged grace? Michal judged the grace of God. Okay, it says before she despised him in her heart in verse 16. David gives her an explanation. And then it says, therefore Michal, which means she continued to be a judge of grace rather than being rightly related to the grace of God. And she became a person with no vitality. She became barren the rest of her life. You know what? One primary reason why believers in Jesus Christ cannot bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives, the reason is they're constantly, instead of being a recipient of the grace of God, they constantly stand as a judge of the grace of God. See, in a work of God, there always lurks the danger of glorification of self-life. What is that? Glorification of? Have you spent too much time before the mirror? Sometimes you got to catch yourself because what? It's self-glorification. No, I mean, there are reasons for you need to stand before the mirror, but if your house is full of mirrors and you're constantly looking at it. Okay, in Luke chapter 10, if you would turn there, verse 17. Jesus makes an amazing statement. The 70 returned with tremendous joy. They returned with tremendous joy. Did they have rejoicing? But what was the reason for their joy? What was the reason for their rejoicing? It says here, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Phenomenal. Now Jesus corrects their reason and says, this should not be the reason for your rejoicing. In verse 20, notwithstanding, Jesus says, in this do not rejoice, because the spirits are subject unto you, because you may not have that experience all the time. But rejoice in this, because your names are written in heaven. Make grace to be the reason for your rejoicing. Make grace to be the reason why you are drawn into the calling of God for your life. Okay? Now, always test the source of your strength, where it is from, whether from the old or from the new, by discovering the reason for your joy. I'll repeat that again. A good way to test the source of your strength, which we think we have to do what God tells us to do, always test it in terms of its source, not in terms of the measure. As far as the measure goes, we are always growing. But in terms of the source of it, test the source of your strength by discovering the reason for your joy. And if it has anything to do with anything apart from the grace of God, just shift gear back to the grace of God. How many understand what I just said? See, if there enters into our joy any element of self-glorying or human success, by what degree that enters into our joy, but that same degree, we are powerless before God. I'll repeat that again. If there enters into our joy and rejoicing and a sense of expectation and hope, any element of self-glory or the accomplishments we've had as people, by what measure it has entered, by that same measure we are weakened. But if our joy is caused by the wisdom of God and the grace of God, our service will not be weakened, it will have prevailing power. How many understood what I just said? This is the reason why our fellowship in the body of Christ can be very, very, very dynamic. If the reason, and I'll close with this note, if the reason for our congregating together, or if the reason for my coming to the church has to do with God endorsing my plans, if the reason for my coming to the church or my calling to the local church has to do with just a blessing that I need from God, then it could be just a matter of time. What is it? It could be just a matter of time when I think I have seemingly got what I needed, or God is not endorsing my plan, then it will be just a matter of time where I begin to get upset with my people, and I'll start blaming the ministry, I'll start blaming the spiritual authority, and I'll quit. Why? Because I departed. It is not about any of those reasons. It was a departure from the most fundamental thing. What is that? I never made grace to be the reason for my calling as a believer priest. No, number one, that's number one. Number two, if the fellowship in the body of Christ has to be dynamic, I should not be an investigator as to the reason, but proceed, having settled the reason of grace being the reason for our calling and our function in the body of Christ, we proceed into the inspirational element. And in the inspirational element, because of a personal fellowship with God, there can be that sharing with one another on a horizontal level, and that makes a fellowship in the body of Christ extremely dynamic. You know, when God blesses associations of the body of Christ, when people proceed beyond the reason of their calling into the very inspirational element of their calling. I'll repeat that again. I come and I scrutinize Pastor Anil. Okay, I'm using you as a test case, okay, Pastor? Because you are greater than David in that sense. In the right sense. You're a man after God's own heart. That's not right. Like, you know, I What am I investigating? I am investigating the reason concerning his calling. The moment I begin to investigate the reason for someone else's calling or my calling based on who we are in ourselves and not based on the grace of God that has called him into this high, holy, and heavenly calling in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. What am I standing? Instead of me being drawn into the fellowship aspect or the inspirational element of our rejoicing or our calling, we get stuck in terms of the reason, get confused, and guess what? Instead of being a participant, I become a critique. And you know what God does? That person becomes like a Michal. They, because they stand as a judge of the grace of God, they turn out to be, spiritually speaking, barren, lacks vitality, lacks the blessing, and turns out to be a dead weight in the body of Christ. Not a living weight. We are all living weights, right? We have life, but dead weight, because they are judging the reason for calling. You know, it is the most difficult thing that a church will go through is when people depart from grace to be the reason for their calling. The moment they depart from the grace of God to be the reason for their calling, they become critique of one another, all because deep down they are experiencing barrenness because of, see, our self-determination must never be divorced from a grace mindset. I'll repeat that again. Our self-determination in God should never be divorced from a grace mindset. Then if it is never divorced from a grace mindset, you and I will always have reasons to rejoice. Why? We are here not because of ourselves. We are here because of God. And what does God fill our mouth with? Laughter. Now, when we reckon on the reason for our calling, the reason for rejoicing, and advance further into the inspirational aspect of our rejoicing or our calling, what is that? That is nothing but the fellowship which we have with God through the Word and through the Holy Spirit becomes something of a portion that you have in the body of Christ for another brother or sister in Christ, and that inspires the other person. That makes it a blessing. Is that amazing? Now, Michal stood in opposition to these things and she became barren. But what did God do with David? Imagine God will use you and I in that sense to bring the ark into the places which have been strongholds for the devil. When people would stand out, when people out there in the world stand as a critique to the grace of God, God says, I'm going to use you to bring the ark. Which means what? The stronghold of Zion is taken. The praise and worship element that relates to the grace of God and the presence of God is brought in. And what does it command in 2 Samuel chapter 6 to people? It commands a blessing toward them. And God uses this ministry. And you know what? In many ways, God has used our lives to bring the ark into strongholds which was totally under Satan's dominion. And for us to bring the ark in that respect, it cannot be an attitude of Michal where we stand in judgment of the grace of God that is showered upon each one of us and upon the body of Christ as a whole here. It must be aligning and agreeing with the reason and being drawn into the inspirational element so that fellowship that we have with one and with God personally and with one another as part of our inspirational level in our calling causes us to do a service for God which has tremendous prevailing power. And that's the way God has designed for the church to make triumph or cause triumph. God leads us in defeat or in triumph in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In triumph, because it has to do with the grace of God and it's as a reason, and it has to do with the fellowship with God and with one another as the inspiration element for a rejoicing and calling in God. How does a church grow? By putting the cart on the ark. Ark on the cart. You know, it could be possible, don't be surprised, if God would call you and I to give your shoulder to bear the ark. You're not interested in carnivalism. Carnivalism will result in carnivorism. Biting and devouring one another. Don't be surprised. Maybe the gray hairs on your head are not because of the water in Bangalore. It's because you've been called to show your shoulder where the ark, the presence of God, is held on your shoulder and you're bearing it for the sake of Christ. And we are called into this high, holy, and amazing calling because of the grace of God and this fellowship with God that we have with God as part of our inspiration, our calling, is the reason why we don't want to keep it down and say, hey, let's look for the cart now. Where's the cart? It is the reason why we continue on without weariness. We continue on without tiredness, spiritual tiredness, and that's, but all the more excited in terms of what the ark can do in terms of displacing the powers that are of another kingdom and bringing in the blessing that relates to God's kingdom. Amen. So what do we have? The cart, or what do we have? And you could be called as a spiritual Kohathite to bear that ark, desire from God, transformation, and working as far as our zeal and determination goes, but always reckoning on the reason and the consciousness of that inspiration that relates to our calling. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We just praise your name. We worship you. Thank you that every blessing in our lives, you have made it to depend not on ourselves, but because of the grace of God that is there for us. We want to reckon on it. And as it says in Ephesians chapter 3, we are made a minister. We are made. We were not born, but we are made in terms of the measure. And we thank you for the presence of God that is sacred. It doesn't have to be secularized. It's sacred, it's precious, and thank you for this blessing, for the reason that you constantly get us to reckon on. And to stand in judgment of this reason in our personal lives and in the lives of others is to actually turn out to be barren as far as bearing fruit goes. Thank you. You've made grace to be the reason. Thank you that you've made fellowship to be that inspiration. And we thank you for being an almighty God. And the consequence, the result we see, service in terms of a consistent obedience, rather than meddling with those who are given to change. We thank you, we praise you. Just bless the remainder of our day and just bless our fellowship to follow. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay.